Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 9, Chapter 9, The Dynasty of Amshuman, Text 33. Evam Karuna Basinya Vila Pantya Anatavat Vyagra Pumsam Ivakadat Sodasha Sapa Mohitaha Evam. In this way, Karuna Bhashinya. While the Brahmana's wife was speaking very pitifully, Vilapantya, lamenting severely, Anatavat, exactly like a woman who has no protector. Vyagra, a tiger. Pasum, prey animal. Eva, like. Akladat, ate up. Sodasa, King Sodasa, Shapa, by the curse, Mohitaha, because of being condemned. Translation of Prabhupada by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Being condemned by the curse of Vishistha, King Sodasa, devoured the Brahmana, exactly as a tiger eats its prey, even though the Brahmana's wife spoke so pitifully. Sodasa was unmoved by her lamentation. Purport, this is an example of destiny. King Sodasa was condemned by the curse of Vishistha, and therefore even though he was well qualified, he could not restrain himself from becoming a tiger-like Rakshasa. This was his destiny. Talabhite dukavat anyatak sukham. As one is put in distress by destiny, destiny can also put one in a happy situation. Destiny is so extremely strong, for one can change destiny, one comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness. Karmani niradhati kintu tabhakti bhajam. Brahma Samhita 554. I'll keep on reading. When the chaste wife of the Brahmin saw that her husband, who was about to discharge semen, had been eaten by the man-eater, she was overwhelmed with grief and lamentation. Thus she angrily cursed the king. O foolish, sinful person, because you have eaten my husband when I was sexually inclined and desiring to have the seed of a child, I shall also see that you die when you attempt to discharge semen in your wife. In other words, whenever you attempt to sexually unite with your wife, you shall die. Thus the wife of the Brahmana cursed King Sodasa, known as Mitra Saha. Then being thus inclined to go with her husband, she set fire to her husband's bones, fell into the fire herself, and went with him to the same destination. After 12 years, when King Sodasa was released from the curse by Vishistha, he wanted to have sexual intercourse with his wife. But the queen reminded him about the curse by the Brahmani, and thus he was checked from sexual intercourse. After being thus instructed, the king gave up future happiness to sexual intercourse, and by destiny remained sonless. Later, with the king's permission, the great saint Vishistha begot a child in the womb of Madhyanti. Madhyanti bore the child within the womb for 7 years and did not give birth. Therefore, Vishistha struck her abdomen with a stone, and then the child was born. Consequently, the child was known as Ashmaka, the child born of a stone. From Ashmaka Balika, took birth because Balika was surrounded by women and was therefore saved from the anger of Parashuram. He was known as Nari Kavacha, one who was protected by women. When Parashuram vanquished all the Kshatriyas, Balika became the protector of many, progenitor of more Kshatriyas. Therefore, he was known as Mulaka, the root of the Kshatriya dynasty. From Balika came a son named Dasarath. From Dasarath came a son named Aidavidi. And from Aidavidi came King Vishvasaha. The son of King Vishvasaha was the famous Maharaj Kadvanga. King Kadvanga was unconquerable in any fight. Requested by the demigods to join them in fighting the demons, he won victory, and the demigods, being very pleased, wanted to give him a benediction. The king inquired from them about the duration of his life and was informed that he had only one moment more. Thus he immediately left his palace and went to his own residence, where he engaged his mind fully on the lotus feet of the Lord. Purport. The example of Maharaj Kadvanga in performing devotional service is brilliant. Maharaj Kadvanga engaged himself for only a moment in devotional service to the Lord, but he was promoted back to Godhead. Therefore, if one practices devotional service from the beginning of his life, surely he will return home back to Godhead, without a doubt. Asamshaya. Bhagavad Gita, the word Asamshaya is used to describe the devotee. Therefore, the Lord himself gives this instruction. Maya saktamanak partha yogam yun janmarashaya asamshayam samagramam itagyasasi tatshinu. Now hear, O son of Pritha, Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full consciousness of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. The Lord also instructs, Janma karma chame devyam evam yo veti tatvataha taktva deham punar janma naiti mam eti sorjana. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, or Arjuna. Therefore, from the very beginning of one's life, one should practice bhakti yoga, which increases one's attachment for Krishna. If one daily sees a deity in the temple, makes offerings by worshiping the deity, chants the holy name of the personality of Godhead, and preaches about the glorious activities of the Lord as much as possible, he thus becomes attached to Krishna. This attachment is called asakti. When one's mind is attached to him, maya sakdamana, one can fulfill the mission of life in one's human birth. One misses this opportunity, one does not know where he is going, how long he will remain in the cycle of birth and death, and when he will again achieve the human form of life and the chance to return home back to Godhead. The most intelligent person therefore uses every moment of his life to render loving service to the Lord. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that antakale tamameva smaran mukva kalevram yak priyati samadbhavam yati nasyatra samshaya, that whoever thinks of me at the time of leaving this body will attain to me without any doubt. Antakale tamameva smaran mukva, remembering me, kalevram only, antakale tamameva smaran mukva kalevram yak priyati samadbhavam yati nasyatra samshaya. Without any doubt, one will go back to the spiritual world. So that takes practice. Now, if we look at ourselves during the day, then we can see, we can try to see how much we're actually even remembering Krishna during the day. Do we actually see Krishna's name? Do we remember his name during the day? What to speak of his form? What to speak? Do we feel his presence during the day? Are we in ecstasy remembering his qualities and pastimes? Do we actually feel love for him during the day? Or we come and we attend the program dutifully. And we may feel the same as we did yesterday. Very little. But hopefully we gain some insight, some understanding, some direction in life, so we can come to the platform of actually feeling Krishna consciousness. Because if Krishna consciousness remains simply on a theoretical platform, then it's simply some idea that can easily be given up. Therefore, antikalei tamameva, before we leave the present body, we have to practice. Antikalei tamameva, smaran mukta, remembering Krishna. But we can't remember Krishna if we're constantly absorbed in remembering other things. If we look around and find attraction in the material world outside of Krishna consciousness, then material nature will never allow us to actually remember Krishna, with devotion at least. Because that's how the material nature works. Dhyayato. Everyone is contemplating something. It's not possible to live and not think about something or contemplate something. The question is, what are we actually contemplating? Now, one who's not Krishna conscious, his contemplation would be on something other than Krishna. Without Krishna consciousness, arising within our heart is our natural tendency to attachment and aversion. That if we're in avidya and ignorance, then the result will be, we'll have asmita. We'll naturally be attracted to our false ego and misidentify ourselves with this gross and subtle material body. And as soon as we have asmita, whatever we've done in the past on that basis of a false ego, whatever attachments and aversions we've developed in the past, will automatically arise at the appropriate times. And being absorbed in attachments and aversions, everything, every experience, everything we're looking at, everything we're tasting, everything we're smelling, our whole existence is absorbed in attachment and aversion, then abhinivesita. Then will always be an anxiety that we're going to die. The things we're attached to, we're afraid we're going to lose, and the things we're averse to, we're afraid we're not going to lose. So the whole material world is based on fear. Either we'll get something undesirable, or we'll lose what we think is desirable, or we'll never be able to get what we desire. So this is all based on fear, abhinivesita, absorption in material consciousness. So we're already absorbed in material consciousness. It's not that somehow or another we fell into Maya, or we might fall into Maya. We're already in Maya. The question is if we're going to get out of Maya, or somehow or another fall temporarily into Krishna consciousness. Now, the secret is easy. If everything, the root cause is avidya, and therefore when we look around, we see with avidya, eyes of avidya. Therefore, we have to see with the eyes of knowledge. Instead of avidya, vidya. Because we're in avidya, therefore when we see things and taste things and smell things, we see things and taste and smell, etc., with experience of avidya. Just like the example is used many times, that if you want to go to a Sunday feast and enjoy the Sunday feast, the best way of going is without putting a glove on your tongue. Now, if you put a glove on your tongue, you're actually at the Sunday feast, but you won't taste very much. You'll taste the glove, and then you'll blame the cook for not cooking nicely. But actually, it's not the cook's fault that you have a glove on your tongue. You have to take the glove off and then you can actually experience what the food is actually like. Similarly, because we're covered by avidya, therefore we don't experience things as they actually are. But we can add knowledge, see things with the eyes of knowledge, taste things with the eyes of knowledge, and that, as Krishna says, jnanam gyanam ganam gamyam riddhi sarvasya vishtitam. I am knowledge, I'm the object of knowledge, I'm the goal of knowledge, I'm situated in everyone's heart. So when we add Krishna to the equation, or Krishna's representatives to the equation, then under that spiritual energy, then we can taste things better, at least. We can smell things better. We can see things better. Just like if one has very poor vision, then we put on glasses to see things better. If the glasses don't interfere with what's the external world, it's not that we put on the glasses and the world changes. Or we change. We just see things better. So we put on the eyes of Krishna consciousness, the knowledge of Krishna consciousness, then we see things better. But we actually have to see whether those eyes of knowledge have actually affected our ahamkar, asmita. Asmita is false ego. If we think we have knowledge and yet we maintain our false ego, then we have the wrong knowledge. If knowledge doesn't change our identity to Krishna Das or Dasi, Dasa Dasa Anudasi, then our knowledge is more or less useless to some extent. We couldn't have, of course, we can have some preliminary knowledge, as I've said many times, Matrivat Paradareshu, Paradwareshu, Lostravat, Atmavat Sarabhuteshu, Yakpashati Sapanditaha. So this is material knowledge, but at least it's bringing one to a civilized point of consciousness where one can actually acquire factual knowledge of Krishna consciousness. To see every woman except for one's wife as being like one's mother, and to see everyone's property as like garbage in the street, and to see all living entities to be like a spirit soul like we are. So this is preliminary knowledge. But without the knowledge, sufficient knowledge to understand that we're Krishna's the servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna, then we still maintain a false ego. Of course, it's better to have a false ego in the mode of goodness than a false ego in the mode of ignorance or passion. Therefore, better to think oneself a brahmana and act as a brahmana than to think oneself a rakshasa. As we see here, this king, Sodasa, he was a kshatriya, and he was acting like a kshatriya, so his karma wasn't so bad. But because he was cursed by fate, by his destiny, by his previous activities, to become rakshasa, therefore he wound up eating a brahmin, which is not very auspicious. Even if the brahmin is a mode of goodness, we can't consider eating a brahmin is in the mode of goodness. But still, therefore, it's better to have a false ego in the mode of goodness, because then one might be able to understand one's identity as Krishna's servant by hearing from the right source with the right attitude, and therefore accept that the real ego of aham brahmasmi or dasa dasa anudasa. Then, when there's attachments and aversions flowing through our mind, we won't identify ourselves with it. Just like if you are you're watching a television program, but you're not interested in the program, but somehow or another you have to be there watching the program. So, whatever the program's going on, you can't stop the program. But you don't identify yourself with it. You don't think, I am the program, a hum program. You don't think, I become, you know, the good fairy. No, I become Peter Pan. Unless you're 5 years old. And then, of course, you probably think, I'm the dragon. Or I'm the knight slaying the dragon. But one becomes aloof from these attachments, aversion, dvesha, and rag. And then there's no more fear, because one remains steadily, one becomes fixed in one's consciousness of aham brahmasmi, or dasa, dasa, anudasa. There's no more fear of death, because one realizes I'm not going to die, and whatever happens, if I'm engaged in spiritual pursuit, I'll get another opportunity to further my endeavor to become Krishna conscious, even in my next lifetime, and gradually I'll reach perfection. Therefore, anta kalecha mam eva smran muktva kalevram yak priyati samadvavam yati nastyatra samshayaha. One should use this valuable form of life, especially to hear and chant about Krishna, and to render service to Krishna, because chanting also means to render service. It's not that we're hearing, we don't do anything. We also have to act according to what we've heard. That's called chanting. So we're chanting with our lips, with our tongue. We can also chant with our body. Because after all, this body is nothing but a transformation of sound vibration. And our body itself, our mind itself, is chanting all the time. Either, I am this body, or I am Krishna's servant. Either we're acting in Krishna consciousness and Krishna's service, or we're acting as a body for sense gratification. And it's a kind of chant. Therefore, actions speak louder than words. We're not only saying, repeating the philosophy, but we should actually follow it. That's called acharya. Not that the acharya simply says, aham brahmasmi, or dasa dasa anudasa, and he acts as if he's a body. No, he can't. That's called, I guess it's a kind of cheating, or it's not very... As Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Karmendriyani samyamya yaste manasasmaran indriyartam vimudat matmityachara suchite. The one who restrains his senses and organs of action, but his mind dwells in sense objects, certainly deludes himself and is called a pretender. So we're speaking, we're telling everyone else what to do, and we're doing the opposite. That's called mityatras uchite, a pretender. We shouldn't be a pretender. Yes, indriyani manasa, niyamya raitajana, karmendriya karma yogam, asakta savishishite. On the other hand, who restrains his senses and organs of action and fixes the mind upon me is known as a man of steady intelligence. Or engages in works of devotion without attachment is known as a man of steady intelligence. So that's what we want to do. We want to not only talk about Krishna, hear about Krishna, but we also want to serve Krishna. And then we'll remember Krishna. Then smaran mukva kalevram. If we try to just remember Krishna, maybe if in the past we were born in the mode of good because of our past deeds, we were born as Sukadeva Goswamis, and therefore, from the moment of our birth, we were liberated. And as soon as we hear the Srimad Bhagavatam from the lips of the devotees, we immediately become attracted. That would be ideal, but we can't pretend either. Therefore, we not only have to hear, but we have to hear something we can put into practice. And then, by Krishna's mercy, we'll be able to remember. If we put adequate practice, as Krishna says, if we want to conquer this mind, because Arjuna said, I have a problem with my mind. Poor Arjuna. He had a problem with his mind. Maybe he should have seen a psychiatrist. My dear psychiatrist, I feel bad today. What should I do? They told me to kill my relatives. It's going to be a bloody battle. What should I do? Well, here's a pill for you. Don't take the pill and you'll feel better. Well, what about killing my relatives? Well, maybe you need a couple more pills. And if you feel bad, come back. I'll give you another prescription after the battle. No, Krishna says, asamsham samagramam. That undoubtedly is difficult to curb the restless mind. Sri Bhagavan Navacha Samshya Mahabaho Manona Dur Nirgraham Chalam Abhyasenik Tukontiya Vairagyanik Jigriyate. It is undoubtedly very difficult to curb the restless mind, Arjuna, but it's possible by suitable practice. So that's what we're supposed to find out. How can I utilize this body suitably so that I actually become conscious of Krishna? So that Krishna becomes merciful to me. It's not a question of memorizing something. Of course we should make an attempt to memorize something, especially we should memorize the instructions by how to become devotees of Krishna. So we can apply them. But it's not a question of just memorizing, but it's a question of applying also. Suitable practice, suitably applying. And vairagya, because without vairagya we can't hear anything. As long as we're attached, you know, I defy the speaker to tell me something new, something that interests me. I have too many other things I'm attached to, too many other priorities. I dare him to say anything that's going to change my life. No, vairagya, without vairagya, we can't get any knowledge because we won't listen. We're already attached to so many things. If we look at our schedule, if we actually wrote down our schedule during the day, and we'd probably be embarrassed what we did during the day. And what to speak of if someone had a mind machine, they actually recorded what we were thinking about today. Would you show it to your spiritual master? My dear Guru Maharaj, here's my offering today of what I was thinking about. My God! Where's Krishna? Oh, there's something Krishna. I hate you, Krishna. What? Well. So we have to be a little conscious. We have to a little bit, you know, what am I doing? What am I thinking? What can I do so I can think better, more in consciousness of Krishna? Am I actually doing this as a service to Guru Sadhu, under the direction of Guru Sadhu and Shastra to please Krishna? Or am I just doing it because I have nothing else to do? As long as there are prasadam during the day, then I'll keep on doing it. As long as there's a place to sleep, I'll keep on doing it. Why I'm doing it? Well, because there's a place to sleep and something to eat. What more can you ask? No, we should actually be consciously, I'm Krishna's servant, I'm doing this to please him under the direction of his representatives, to please him, and I actually want to please him because he's my friend, he's my best friend, he's my well-wisher. Then one can actually make progress in Krishna consciousness. Then it's possible to conquer the mind and put smaran mukva kalevram. Otherwise, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajantyanti kalevram tam tem aivaiti kondiyat sadatad bhava bhavita. We're going to think about something at the time of death. And if we think about the wrong thing, then we're in trouble. As Prabhupada once said, the difficulty with the Western boys and girls, or all the people in all day, nowadays, everyone is a Westerner, is that my disciples aren't sufficiently afraid of Maya. So what if I become a dog in my next lifetime? I'm sure I'll be born in a family of dogs, a devotee dogs, family of devotee dogs. And I'll get prasadam every day. And they'll give me a nice place to sleep, I'm sure, because I've chanted Hare Krishna. No one should be a little concerned. Where am I going? Even if we go to the heavenly planets, what are we going to do there? Are we going to take our japa beads with us? Oh my God, I'm here in the heavenly planets. Oh, is everything so wonderful? Wow, this prasadam is fantastic. Wow, my God, you know, everything here is nice. I'm not even chanting my rounds and I'm all right. I left my bees behind. Anyhow, let me enjoy for a few thousand years. And when I get back to Slovenia, I'll see if my bees are still there. I'll pick them up. So one shouldn't be so confident that I could just neglect Krishna consciousness now. And in the future, somehow or another, it's going to turn out all right. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Um, So if I understand that correctly, without knowledge we can't get to the spiritual world.
Without knowledge we can't get to the spiritual world.
Yeah.
Yeah, well if you're in the of course. How else are you going to get there? Without knowledge it's not possible to get anywhere. Like for instance, if you don't know, do you usually walk here or you take your bicycle or how do you get here? How do you come to the temple? By bicycle. What's that? Scooter, yeah. So if you didn't know how to get here, if you didn't know the streets, you couldn't read the names of the street, maybe you had a bad day and you can't read the names of the streets, how could you get here? If you forgot how to get here, you'd get lost. You wind up somewhere else. Maybe you wind up the brewery down the block here. Probably not. But anyway, you may not go into the brewery, but you may not find out how to get here. So knowledge is required for everything. When we're younger, when you're 3 years old or 2 years old, you don't know how to tie your shoelaces. And that's knowledge, how to tie the shoelaces. And then when you're 95 years old, you forget. And someone else has to tie your shoelaces for you. Because you've lost that knowledge. So everything requires knowledge. Similarly, to make advance in spiritual life, we also need spiritual knowledge. Is that right? Thank you. Any questions? Any other thing? Kuala, Grantharaj, Shrimad Bhagavatam, Kidaj.